In the name of the one true living God, the triune God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Brothers and sisters, Jesus faced very strong opposition from religious fanatics. The Gospels record many of these events. His popularity and teaching threatened them and exposed their double lives. They tried their best to intimidate and falsely defame him. 6 times in the 23rd chapter of the Gospel of Matthew, Jesus warned and rebuked them, saying, "Woe to you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites!" He accused them of corrupting God's kingdom, causing harm to God's people, and twisting God's word. He described them as abominable tombs, looking nice on the outside, but decaying inside. They were greedy and oppressed others by religious rules and regulations. He reminded them of their father's persecution and even murder of innocent prophets and other faithful servants of God, even in Jerusalem and the holy courts of the temple. The chapter ends with Jesus' words about Jerusalem. "O Jerusalem, Jerusalem, the city that kills the prophets and stones those who are sent to it, how often would I have gathered your children together as a hen gathers her brood under her wings, and you were not willing. See, your house is left to you desolate. For I tell you, you will not see me again until you say, 'Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord.'" The 24th chapter of Matthew follows with these words about the temple. Jesus left the temple and was going away when his disciples came to point out to him the buildings of the temple. But he answered them, "You see all these? Do you not? Truly I say to you, there will not be left here one stone upon another that will not be thrown down." Brothers and sisters, Jesus' words about Jerusalem and the temple were difficult for them to hear. In history, Jerusalem was attacked, besieged, occupied many times. Twice the city and the temple were totally destroyed. Jesus' words foretold the second destruction. It took place about 37 years later in 70 AD by the Romans. At this occasion, Jesus was in the temple for the last time. He was about to leave the city of Jerusalem, indicating that he would return on what we know today as Palm Sunday. Then the crowds would recognize him as the blessed Son of David, the one to claim the promised throne of the everlasting kingdom. Jesus announced that people of that generation would be around to witness the destruction of the city and the temple. What was the purpose of the temple? Why was it destroyed? Brothers and sisters, before King Solomon built the temple, when the Israelites still were wandering in the wilderness, they were instructed to build the tabernacle, just as God revealed to Moses. Tabernacle means dwelling place. It symbolized the presence of God in the midst of his people. This temporary tent form was well designed and structured. Solomon's elaborate and luxurious temple was solidly built at great cost. The Babylonian king Nebuchadnezzar totally destroyed it around 586 BC and took the Israelites into exile. About 70 years later, following their conquest of the Babylonian Empire, the Persians encouraged and supported the return to Jerusalem of a remnant of the Israelite exiles to rebuild it. The new temple was not nearly as impressive in comparison to the previous one built by Solomon. Yet the prophet Haggai in his second chapter foretold that it would have a more glorious standing than Solomon's. His prophecy was in the context of the coming of the desire of all nations. This coming one was also to bring peace. Haggai states that his coming would shake creation and the nations. This, of course, applied to Jesus, the Prince of Peace, whose miraculous virgin birth fulfilled all ancient Old Testament prophecies. As foretold, Jesus' glorious teaching ministry in the temple building in Jerusalem, as well as in local synagogues, was unparalleled. Matthew chapter 12 proclaims that what he represented was greater than the temple. Brothers and sisters, the temple not only represented the holy presence of God, but also it showed the way for sinners to approach His holiness by its symbolic sacrifices. They pointed to God's promises to provide for the atonement of sin. Jesus fulfilled both as Emmanuel, God with us, and as the Lamb of God who took on Himself the sins of God's people. Jesus decisively declared this from the cross as His sacrificial work was completed, saying, "It is finished." Immediately the earth shook, causing the inner curtain of the temple, which separated the Holy of Holies, to be torn from top to bottom. This heralded the fulfillment of all that the temple symbolized: God's permanent presence with His people on earth and their access to God's holy presence by Jesus' blood sacrifice. Both became a reality as God's people gather in the Savior's name. Yet, in God's gracious patience and mercy, the temple itself was not to be totally destroyed until it is divinely determined that it was no longer in service to Christ's cause. Brothers and sisters, as foretold by Christ from Jerusalem, the gospel began its journey to reach all nations. Also in Jerusalem began the persecution and sufferings of Christ's followers. Yet the temple was still needed for some 37 more years as the venue for the proclamation of the gospel and the initiation of Christ's universal church and kingdom. The destruction of the temple in 70 AD fulfilled Christ's prediction that not one stone upon another would remain in the structure of the temple. Christ's people have become the new temple or tabernacle, the dwelling place of God. The seventh chapter of the book of Acts records the interrogation and condemnation by religious fanatics of Stephen, Christ's faithful servant, the first Christian martyr. Like his Lord, Stephen addressed them from scriptures. He reminded them of how the temple was merely a temporary symbol of God's presence and how Christ's atoning death fulfilled it all. He says, "It was Solomon who built a house for him. Yet the Most High does not dwell in houses made by hands, as the prophet says, 'Heaven is my throne, and the earth is my footstool. What kind of house will you build for me, says the Lord, or what is the place of my rest? Did not my hand make all these things?'" The Apostle Paul addresses believers in the third chapter of his first epistle to the Corinthians, saying, "Do you not know that you are God's temple, and that God's Spirit dwells in you? If anyone destroys God's temple, God will destroy him. For God's temple is holy, and you are that temple. Yes, Christ fulfilled all that the temple represented. As the precious head of his body, the church, he now indwells his people by the power of his word and spirit. Hallelujah. The grace of the Savior King, the Messiah of God, the Lord Jesus Christ, and the full blessing of the Triune God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, abide with God's people in all nations at all times throughout the whole earth by the message of the blessed gospel. Amen.